Sit. So Diana, I'm planning to discuss a little bit from First Canto Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly I'm very inspired that when Prabhupada came with the order of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to bring the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the English-speaking parts of the world, it was in these volumes of First Canto Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada carried that mission and the message. So there's a great treasure in here, and I want to excavate the treasure a little bit. Some verses that I'd like to discuss this evening are from First Canto, Chapter 2. Chapter 2 is answers given by Suta Goswami to questions that the sages of Naimisharanya were asking. Here's the scene. Krishna has left the world just recently, and the great sages, they knew what this meant. This meant that the all-auspicious presence of Krishna being over, now Kali Yuga was just about to begin. So what do very thoughtful, wise, learned persons do when they know that there's imminent global difficulty? They come together and do what they can do to counteract that negative influence, the influence of the age of Kali. So they had planned a big yajna, a really big yajna, a 1,000-year yajna, non-stop. Here in Guyana you have some priests that come and do yajnas, yes? These were very, very elevated sages. They wanted to do a 1,000-year yajna, and they wanted to do it in a very special place. They wanted that special place to be the sacred forest of Naimisharanya. The reason is because, according to scriptures, Naimisharanya is the hub of the universe. It's like back here, I'm chanting. So you have a nice Rath Yatra cart. Very big cart, but it moves on some axles, and the axles have their wheels, have their hub. The whole thing rests on that hub. The whole, just as the earth is spinning on an axis, so the Vedas describe the whole universe is turning. And that axis, when it penetrates through this earth, is Naimisharanya. That's the sacred spot where whatever sacrifices are performed, it goes throughout the whole universe, the benefit. That's why they chose Naimisharanya. They really wanted to do something. You know, that the saying goes these days, it makes a difference. They wanted to diminish the influence of the age of Kali, so they began a big yajna. And what did they find? The effect of yajna in this age of Kali was, in their own words, the only benefit that they were deriving was it was making their faces black by the smoke. In other words, there wasn't benefit. That's their words. So as they were assembled at this yajna, Suta Goswami was in their midst. And Suta had heard the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't just read a couple verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. He held the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. He not only heard it, but he understood it. The sages described this in chapter 1. He not only understood it, but he realized it. He was up there. So they requested him, please, to sanctify our yajna, this purpose that we're wishing to accomplish, to diminish the influence of the age of Kali. Prayina payushakshabhya kalavasminyugejana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyabhi kadrita. They said, in this age of Kali, things are so bad. Manda sumanda matayo. Persons in this age, kayena payushakshabhya, their good qualities are almost destroyed. Have you noticed? I noticed it when we got off the speedboat and wanted to get into taxis. Whoa, their good qualities just weren't there. The taxi cab driver that drove us said, it's like this every time, this big hassle, big screaming, yelling match over who's going to drive the passengers off the speedboat. Imagine having a profession like that. So, quarrel, constant quarrel, good qualities practically gone, people disturbed, their duration of life is shorter, their compassion is less, everything diminished. Always quarreling, misguided, lazy, unfortunate, not a nice situation. What to do? The sages wanted to know. What to do? Where have religious principles, now that Krishna is gone, where have religious principles taken shelter? Because when Krishna was present, there was religious principles. Just by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet upon earth, everything bountiful was being supplied because Mother Earth was so happy. Krishna's feet are touching my body. So all minerals, all jewels, all vegetables, all everything that people may need was supplied abundantly. Now Krishna's lotus imprints on earth are gone. Where will religious principles take shelter? So they had these urgent questions. And they posed these questions to Suta Goswami because he understood the answer. The Srimad Bhagavatam is that answer. He not only understood it, as I mentioned, he realized it in fullness. Please. Like milking a cow at milking time. Please deliver this nectar. So the verses that we're going to discuss this evening are comparing modes of worship. Now you know from Bhagavad Gita, we all know, there's three modes of nature. Which are those three modes of nature? Goodness, passion, and ignorance. And of the three modes of nature, which is best? Mode of goodness is best. Very basic Bhagavad Gita understanding. Religion, minimally, religion is to assist us to become elevated to the quality of goodness. Leave behind the lower modes of passion, fruitive activity. Get in my taxi. Poor Paramatma, he had 15 arms right in his face saying, go in this taxi, go in that taxi. I was feeling very bad for you. Yelling. Mode of passion. Or mode of ignorance. Sleep, laziness, intoxication, depression, anger. These are symptoms of the mode of ignorance. Is it not abundant? It's not just this part of the world, it's abundant in the world. It's the age of Kali. What to do? How to find this quality of goodness? So the Bhagavatam is addressing that message of the Bhagavad Gita and helping us understand how to promote the quality of goodness and ultimately to reach transcendence. Here's the Bhagavatam's explanation. It's taking this Bhagavad Gita idea and then extending it further. It's the graduate study of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the undergraduate study. Sutta Goswami says, firewood is a transformation of earth. So firewood is more, it has more utility than earth. Earth, you can do some things. Firewood is a transformation of earth, but smoke is better than raw wood. And fire is still better, for by fire we can derive the benefits of superior knowledge through Vedic sacrifices. What's the idea? Firewood? Wood is but transformation of earth. It's nothing but transformation of earth. And with wood, you rub wood together, or the old system, rub wood together, and it becomes, some smoke starts to come. And that's nice, smoke starts to come. But better than smoke is fire, because with fire you can have sacrifice, and with sacrifice one can approach the transcendental message of the Vedas through Vedic sacrifice, the essence of the knowledge of the Vedas. Similarly, passion is better than ignorance, but goodness, sattva, is best, because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. I'll read portions of Prabhupada's purport. As explained above, one can get released from the conditioned life of material existence by devotional service to the personality of Godhead. It is further comprehended herein that one has to rise to the platform of goodness so that one may be eligible for the devotional service of the Lord. That's difficult in this age of Kali, because there's so much passion, so much ignorance. How to come to the platform of goodness? But if there are impediments on the progressive path, anyone, even from the platform of tamas, can gradually rise to the sattva platform by the expert direction of the spiritual master. Thank God, there's some hope for us. Even we may be strongly influenced by Rajas and Tamas. Sincere candidates must therefore approach an expert spiritual master for such progressive march. And the bona fide expert spiritual master is competent to direct the disciple in any stage of life, Tamas, Rajas, and Sattva. Now here's what Prabhupada really wants to speak about worship, because that's the following verses. It is a mistake, therefore, to consider that worship of any quality or any form of the Supreme Personality of God is equally beneficial. Except Vishnu, all separated forms are manifested under the conditions of the material energy, and therefore the forms of the material energy cannot help anyone rise to the platform of sattva, which alone can liberate a person from material bondage. So, not exclusively here in Guyana, but here in Guyana, worship of demigods is very prominent. Maybe we could say more prominent than worship of Vishnu amongst those that are considering themselves Hindus, or the everybody worship. Many, many. Here is Bhagavatam's statement, the next verse. Previously, all the great sages rendered service unto the personality of Godhead due to his existence above these three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world. This means So we've heard sattva is next to, like cleanliness is next to godliness. You've heard that phrase. Cleanliness is next to godliness. I was complimenting our driver for having such a clean car. Cleanliness is next to godliness. The mode of goodness is on the threshold of transcendence. Just like here in the temple room, there's walls on all four sides, but there's also windows and doors. So when you're looking at the wall, you don't know what's on the other side. When you go to the door, then you can see what's on the other side. The window, similarly, Prabhupada said this, the mode of goodness is like a window into the spiritual world. You can get an idea of what's on the other side of this material world through the quality of goodness. But you're still not on the other side. You're on this side looking to the other side. So we're to come to this quality, practice Krishna consciousness, so that, that is, connect with the Supreme Lord, Adhokshaja, he who is beyond the senses. Aksha means eyes. Adhokshaja, Adhokshaja, he whose existence is beyond the eyes to see. So even we don't have the eyes to see, we can serve he who is beyond the senses through the medium of devotional service. The medium of devotional service permits us to rise gradually through the modes of nature up to this quality of goodness and then into the realm of transcendence. And until we're in the realm of transcendence, we're not going to see or directly experience Krishna. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, this is what we're meant to do. What's the goal of devotional service? You can say many things. The goal of devotional service is more devotional service. The goal of chanting is more chanting. But we can also say the goal of devotional service is to awaken our love for Krishna. In this particular commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the goal of devotional service is to see Krishna, to experience our relationship with Krishna directly, with transcendental senses. That's our goal. So we're engaging ourselves in devotional service, but we haven't reached our goal yet. It's the means of purification to reach that transcendental goal. Transcendence, going completely beyond the modes of nature. But at least which within our eyes to see or sensibilities to grasp is at least goodness. I hope you appreciate what I'm expressing here. We want to come at least to the qualities of goodness, truthfulness, cleanliness, compassion. We had a whole weekend retreat in Gita Nagari. Just talked on this, spoke on this one topic. I mean, all the presenters were on the topic of Vaishnava compassion. These topics are the qualities of a devotee are so rich, so deep, so meaningful, to actually enter into the quality of Vaishnava compassion. It's a deep ocean. So we're to aspire for, cultivate those qualities while engaging in our devotional service. go on with the Bhagavatam. Text 26. Those who are serious about liberation are certainly non-envious and they respect all. This is very important qualification of a Vaishnava. Those who are aspiring for this transcendental goal have naturally the quality of being non-envious. They envy nobody and they respect everybody. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, that this Trinada Pisani Chaina, Torora Pisahi Shuna, Amanina Amanadena Kirtanya Sadhari. There's respect everyone and expect no respect in return. Not like have low expectations. It's don't carry that aspiration in your heart. You know, your verses of this chapter discussed. We should want to come to the position of, aspire for the position of serving simply because it's our constitutional position. That's goodness. Transcendence is because we're attached to Krishna. But goodness is, it's just who I am. It's what I'm supposed to do. It's what souls do. We serve. That's our philosophy. And practically that's our experience. Everybody is serving somebody. Without exception. The materialists are serving somebody. The spiritualists are serving somebody. Because we're constitutionally servants. So our position of devotional service is direct that activity to serving Krishna. Always. Non-stop. No vacation. No break from devotional service. And serving with respect to all living entities. If we want to reach the goal, we want to reach Krishna Loka, that's cultivation must be there. See all others with respect and envy no one. It's very easy to speak like this. But at the same time, please appreciate that everyone who comes to this material world without exception, everyone that receives a material body, has done so because of this initial raga dvesha samutena dvandva mohina bharata. We take birth in this realm of duality because of enviousness to Krishna. We want the position of being the enjoyer. And there's a big obstacle in the way of us being the enjoyer, and that's Krishna's already the enjoyer. Raga, dvesha. So the spiritual world, there's no dvesha, there's no raga. There's no hankering for the position of being the enjoyer. Or dvesha, bad attitude toward Krishna. It's love toward Krishna. And just being happy doing service. There must be devotees in this community, like in any community, that they don't necessarily know the scriptures so well, and they may not lead the best kirtan, but they just like service. Jiva Goswami describes, this is just before the transcendental stage. It's a very high stage. It's not the perfection, but it's simplicity of heart and just being happy to serve. Very nice. Very nice. But the Bhagavatam wants to take us not only to that position, but further, where attraction and attachment to Krishna becomes more and more prominent. This is through the medium of hearing about Krishna, through this mood of service. Such persons reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all-blissful forms of Lord Vishnu and his plenary expansions. Now this has to do with the modes of nature previously discussed. Sattva, the worship of Lord Vishnu, is to be done in this mood of sattva. When Prabhupada described deity worship, what did he say the most important items in deity worship are? Anybody wants to volunteer the answer to that question? Most important items in deity worship are?
Punctuality, cleanliness, perseverance.
Sincerity. So the first two qualities that he mentioned are qualities of goodness. Punctuality. Like when it's time for arti, right to the moment. Every time. And then the worship begins. And the dressing of the deity ends on time so the next arti can begin. Punctuality. In your homes, it's important, at least regulation. In the temple, that standard of punctuality is very, very important. Whatever time you have in your homes for your puja or your mangalarti or your sandhya arti, as far as possible, have them at regular times. Punctuality. And cleanliness, another quality of goodness. This is deity worship, but it's qualities that we bring into the realm of worship of the deity. The third item that Prabhupada mentioned is sincerity. My dear Lord Krishna, I have no qualification. So add to it humility. But you are very kind. You've come before me in this most approachable form. So kindly accept the little service that I have. Sincerity. This helps bring one beyond the lower modes of nature into the realm of transcendence. Final verse for this evening. Those who are in the mode of passion and ignorance worship the forefathers, other living beings, and the demigods who are in charge of cosmic activities. For they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited with women, wealth, power, and progeny. So there's this inspiration for the lower modes of nature. I want some desires to be fulfilled. And there's passionate desires, and there's ignorant desires. Worshipping the ghosts and spirits. Worshipping the departed ancestors. I found this out in New York. I had no idea until I started exploring a little bit. But in Chinese culture, they have this system of Pitri worship also. In homes, if they don't have a sense of God, they do have a sense of respecting their forefathers. And they have pictures of their forefathers and they make offerings to their forefathers. Now there's a Vedic way of doing the same thing, but it involves offering Vishnu Prasad to, just like when we perform Shraddha for a departed ancestor, a departed family member. We offer items, mode of goodness items to Lord Vishnu and take that Vishnu Prasad and place the Vishnu Prasad before the picture of the departed ancestor. And various mantras to nourish the soul's forward movement in case they get in an unfortunate condition. It's giving spiritual benefit to the departed soul. But all of these things are being lost in this age of Kali. The real purpose, people become, as far as I can see, here in Guyana, very prevalent. Rituals, people are very attracted to. But what's the ultimate purpose and meaning behind them is lost. And therefore, the Bhagavatam is explicitly recommending that we just take the worship of Lord Vishnu. And the means of worship of Lord Vishnu, according to the Bhagavatam, is this Bhagavat Dharma method, the method of hearing, Shravanam, Kirtanam, just like we read the verse, Shrotavya, Kirtitavya, Shyadyeya, Bhujas, Vinitida, which is what we're doing in the Hare Krishna movement. Now, full circle around. Srila Prabhupada was instructed by Bhaktisiddhanta to bring the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the English-speaking parts of the world. So he did so by bringing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the philosophical, scriptural basis of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And in these teachings, it describes what we do. Now we're, this is described, now I'm doing it the reverse. We just had arti and kirtan, hearing and chanting. And now we're engaged in hearing and chanting. And the basis of this scriptural authority for what we're doing is here in the Bhagavatam. And why are we doing it in this particular fashion? The sages of Naimisharanya heard from Sutta Goswami that in this age of Kali, conditions, people are so misguided, they're so lazy, they're so unfortunate, always disturbed, always arguing. So, the direct means of hearing the holy name of the Lord and the glories of the Lord, the teaching of how to connect with Him through devotion, directly going to that position is a recommendation. I'll just emphasize one final point or repeat. An implied message. When we have this very fortunate opportunity of devotional service, we have a responsibility. The responsibility is to exhibit the qualities of goodness. Cultivate and manifest the qualities of goodness. You've heard this example that if you want to go to the top floor of a tall building, Prabhupada used the example of the Empire State Building, there's two methods. There's the staircase method and there's the elevator method. You've heard this example before? Yes, one has heard. Okay, a little audience response would help. So, you can go up and up and up and up and up and up. There's 100 and whatever it is, 10 stories. It's a lot of going up. Or you can go to the elevator, press the button, and go, and you, when the door opens, you're at the 110th floor. Both will work. This gradual, gradual, gradual elevation method, or the elevator method. Prabhupada described this Bhagavad Dharma method as the elevator method. So, a point that I want to emphasize to all of you is, because of the mercy that we're receiving, that we don't have to go this gradual, 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 many, 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 many lifetimes where people are misguided, lazy, and always quarreling. We can just go straight on the elevator. Right to direct devotional service to Krishna. It's so merciful. We don't have qualification, but Krishna is very merciful. And Lord Chaitanya is most merciful, most munificent. We then have a great responsibility. The responsibility is to manifest the qualities of someone representing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, someone representing Krishna in the spiritual world. Big responsibility, because we didn't go up the gradual, gradual method. We went to the direct method. It's incumbent upon us. It's our duty to represent the disciplic succession and Krishna. by at least the qualities of goodness. So I'm now adding this. There's something internal and there's something external. The external is the sense of being part of a very great message and lineage. We're representing to the world. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya and our qualities represent those teachings. Is it not that people evaluate the Hare Krishna movement by the members of the Hare Krishna movement? Even before people receive Prabhupada's books, if they see devotees behaving in a very nice way, they think, oh, this must be very nice. Let me find out about it. And if they see the behavior as another way, I don't know if I want to find out about this. It's great responsibility to be in that elevator method, to be part of this Bhagavad Dharma method. We should seriously and sincerely strive to manifest good qualities, transcendental qualities, but at least good qualities. Compassion, truthfulness, cleanliness, straightforwardness in our dealings, cultivation of knowledge, simplicity, all these qualities of goodness. And we should help one another doing this. And the Bhagavatam gives us this very powerful method, hearing and chanting, and receiving the message of Krishna. Okay, so see if there's any questions or discussion. Yeah. I heard about 60%, but the other 40% seemed like critical. I didn't get the whole question. Can you volume up a little?
Hare Krishna.
Look at that. Thank you.
Mara, the sages of Naimisharanya.
The sages of Naimisharanya.
Are executing a service to conquer the age of Kali. They received from Sri Sri Goswami.
Yeah.
Something different from what they were.
They received which?
They received a message from Sri Sri Goswami.
Yeah.
A means different from what they were.
Okay, different from what they were doing. They were doing yajnas and he was engaging them in hearing the Bhagavatam.
Also, we, for Śrīla Prabhupāda, Lord Chaitanya's means of conquering the age of Kali.
Yeah, but the means are just hearing and chanting. That's the means. Hearing and chanting and distributing that message to others. Very importantly, the compassion of Lord Chaitanya is a very important part of the message of Lord Chaitanya. So, I'm not sure what your question is. The hearing and chanting is what the sages were asked or instructed. They were engaged in by Sutta instead of just performing yajnas. So now what we're doing, per the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and how Prabhupada has given it to us, we're engaged in varieties of hearing and chanting. Specifically, it's these two main, or three, the kirtan, hearing and chanting. Japa, hearing and chanting. A scripture, hearing and chanting. We combine that hearing and chanting in those three different forms with many other things, particularly noteworthy as deity worship. And from the earlier verses that we discussed when in Ukraine, our occupational duties. But our occupational duties are effective to the degree that it develops an attraction for hearing and chanting. That's like the mission of our occupation, your work. And, you know, students and housewives and whoever, people, whatever people do when they're not hearing and chanting, is to develop an attraction for hearing and chanting. So that there's transcendental benefit. So it's not a disconnect between Lord Chaitanya's teachings and what Prabhupada gave us as Lord Chaitanya's teachings and the sages who were assembled. The form was age-specific, you know, very early. They were in the very early stages of the age of Kali. Lord Chaitanya took that principle and manifested it in very practical ways for our times. So, hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is up there, it's foremost, along with congregational chanting and our own individual hearing, the chanting of the Holy Name. Because when we're chanting the Holy Name, what's our primary instruction? Hear attentively. We're hearing and chanting. And for that reason, we chant audibly rather than silently. Hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. And we're joining other things with that. Our work, our worship. Dhyaya pujas cha nityada. That's the teaching in the second chapter. Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan satyakam patihi shrotavya kirtitavya cha dhyaya pujas cha nityada. Nityada, in all circumstances, take those principles and apply them. So there's no disconnect. It's appropriate form for our present time. So we have now technology. So we have this little amplifier. And we have CDs and MP3s and DVDs and iPods, and we're hearing and chanting. Taking every opportunity as far as possible. While cooking, we're hearing or chanting. While driving, we're hearing and chanting. While brushing our teeth, we're hearing and chanting. Because we have that facility. Does that address your question, or? Okay.
Maharaj, you mentioned that we should try to attain Buddha's goals by engaging in devotional service.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have this misunderstanding about devotional service. Sometimes we tend to think that sweeping the alcohol is less, is not so much important to service as to worshiping the deities. So can you please elaborate a little more on that?
Yeah, that. Sometimes we think that some services are lesser and some services are greater. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, how does Krishna look at it? And that's how we should try to look at it. Just from the example that you gave, every morning when we're attending Mangal Arati, we glorify how the spiritual master is pleased when he sees the disciples are engaged in worshipping the deity and cleansing the temple of the deity. So, from the spiritual master and Krishna's point of view, there's not this hierarchy. The one that's dressing the deity, he's or she is In a more coveted position, the one that's cleansing the floor is, well, they're just cleansing the floor. It depends on the quality of devotion with which one does either one of those things. But the opportunity for purifying oneself through service with our senses, serving the master of the senses, that's the beauty. One could be in either of those situations or both of those situations and see or not see the mercy of Krishna. One can be performing arti, worshipping the deity, and one's mind is in the wrong place and some bad thoughts. So what is it that we want in the form of our service? We want purity. We should. Prabhupada taught that when you cleanse the temple, you're cleansing your heart. Here's a nice one. Who likes, after the Sunday feast is over, to go and wash the pots? We don't find a lot of people going over to the pot room to wash the pots, because they'd rather hang out with their friends and do other things. So a little 2-minute, 3-minute anecdote. When I joined the Hare Krishna temple in Boston, I came straight from being a medical school student to living in the temple, and the first service I was given was washing the pots. And I was thinking, I didn't come here to wash the pots. Don't they understand who I am? I'm a medical student. And I'm being watched. They don't have my number right. But they needed somebody to wash the pots, and so I was washing the pots, and I washed pots for about a month. And I was thinking, you know, not good thoughts. And the arrangement was at the Boston Temple at that time, the men's ashram had a set of stairs coming down to the ground floor and had to go right past the pot room to go into the temple room, to go down the hall into the temple room. So I was all day long, with people getting patting me on the back, oh, you're doing a great job washing the pots. Prabhupada said, when you're cleansing the pots, you're cleansing your heart. And being the smart aleck college student, I was thinking, but I didn't say it, oh yeah? Then why aren't you here? Cleansing your heart, Baba. I mean, I was thinking those thoughts, but they didn't say it, I just kept. Some time passed and I realized Krishna wants me to clean the pots, because otherwise I can be given some other service, but Krishna wants me to do this. So I came to join Krishna's temple, and Krishna wants me to do the pots. Why don't I just surrender to what Prabhupada said and clean the pots in such a way, my consciousness is I'm cleansing my heart of this false pride. So I surrendered to Prabhupada's instruction. And I began cleaning pots without begrudging, but very enthusiastically to cleanse my heart. And I get more pats on my back. Oh, you're doing a great job. Prabhupada said, then the next one was, you should cleanse the pot in such a way that you could see your face in the bottom of the pot. And I was thinking, you know, the bottom of the pot where the fire goes, not the bottom where the food goes. And these pots were, you know, way back then, they were used pots. Old pots. So I thought, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to make these pots reflect like my heart. Just try to make my heart just pure. So I spent every day, I got every little bit of black off the bottom of every pot. And when that last, you could see your face in the bottom of every pot. Then the devotee, somebody tapping on the shoulder and says, we got somebody else to clean the pots. We want you to come with us on Sankirtan, which is what I wanted to do. What I wanted to do was One thing, what Krishna wanted me to do was make my heart pure. Get rid of this yucky pride and false ego. Out. I can't say that. What I can say is I surrendered to the instruction and I felt relieved of a mountain of impurity within my heart. Just from the simple service of surrendering to what Krishna wanted me to do. So then I got to